This is the moment many wait for.
The most entertaining.
A man of wisdom. A man of experience, Dave.
The most informative.
To bring light to a dark subject. To bring positivity to a negative world.
The incredible Paul Moyer.
You see, you hear that open there, Ryan? The incredible.
Oh, yeah.
The incredible
wow.
Paul Moyer, who's with us every single week here on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline.
That's when you know you're a big deal, man. When you have an opening like that, wow.
How are you, Paul?
I'm doing well. Now that you've heard it, Ryan, I think we should get one for you, too.
Oh.
Because you're above me, so we got to get a billboard.
I might even cut my own one up, actually. And Paul, by the way, if you haven't heard, I actually host a podcast. I know Bob Stelton gives me crap about this, like I'm always trying to plug it.
That was Adam Ray.
Oh yeah,
Bob, my podcast.
I follow your podcast. I'm on it. So
I appreciate
we're good.
It. Well, you've inspired me. I need to do like a big intro like that. One just then, and just do, you know, have the guy who does all these voices that with that epic voice,
yeah,
and try and just muster something up. I think,
you got to make it a show, man. You got to put some production into that, Ryan. Make people feel special. Paul feels special every time he comes on the show.
Awesome.
He hears that. We do need to get an open for Ryan. We need to get something made for Ryan.
I mean, Bob. You know, Bob, Mike Lefkoe, we've got, you know, Bryce Miller, you know, we got George Kirby.
Oh,
Kirby's a fun word to say with my accent. George Kirby, and Logan Gilbert, and, you know, Hugh Jackman, Nicole Kidman, Koala. But, you know, but the switching stuff is Bob, it's Bob. Listen, my podcast, Bob, my podcast.
Paul, that wasn't me, by the way.
God.
You couldn't figure that out.
That's our buddy, comedian Adam Ray, doing his impression of Ryan.
That's pretty good, man. It was pretty spot on.
I just like how he's just throwing out Australia. Nicole Kidman, Koala. Bob, my podcast. Bob. very good. All right. We'll quit picking on Ryan, but we do need to get an open made for him. I think you're absolutely right, Paul.
He has the technology to create his own, so you might want to jump on that.
He can make it as big and bombastic as he wants. Paul, Ryan knows this. You're a huge Mariner fan. You've got your text group going that doesn't include Dave Wyman, and you guys talk Mariners all the time. How are you? I went into this series with the A's going, all right, it's not realistic to expect a four-game sweep. Can they do it? Of course. Are you mad if they don't? No, that's tough to do. But now that they've won three, if they don't win this fourth one, I'm probably going to be a little annoyed by it. That's probably not fair, but give me your take on beating a team like the A's. Does it make you feel better, or do you feel like, boy, this is historically one of the worst teams in baseball?
Yeah, I don't know if it makes me feel better for how we're going to finish the season. I think you have to beat these bad teams right now because this is truly the have and have nots. There are so many good teams. I was listening to you guys earlier talk about their schedule, and you're right. It's been a tough schedule because there's so many teams with winning records. So the teams like, you know, Oakland and Colorado, who were 9-0 right now versus, we got a plus 33 run differential versus just those two teams, which were plus 33 for the season. You have to beat those teams just to be in the game right now because you got to leapfrog so many teams. And it's not that we're horrible against winning teams. We've only beat one team this year in a series that has a winning record, and that's Houston. And I don't even think they had a winning record at the time when we played them. But we're 7-14 right now versus winning teams. We're losing, you know, in three-game series, usually, you know, one game for us, two for them. So we're in it. So you better dominate these teams like Oakland. So I don't know if I feel better right now, but I certainly don't feel worse. And I feel like we're in it, and we got a chance now.
Hey, Paul, we've talked a few times the last couple of days, and you just have this feeling, for whatever reason, and Bob mentioned the fact that at this point in the season, compared to last year, they're actually better than what they were last year. Record-wise. But for whatever reason, people I talk to, you know, on air, off air, or just around, even out away from the ballpark, and I want to get your take because you obviously follow this team closely. How are you feeling about this team? Do you feel like the energy, and I'm not talking about the exact moment, the exact day from last year, but I want to talk about right before the All-Star break, where you were at with the team, were you frustrated, or you know, at that point last year, they went on to make it to the playoffs. But with this season, with all the expectations, do you look at this as if to say, man, this is so much fun, it's exciting, or do you feel like this has been underwhelming, the performance so far?
Well, I love this team. So from a fan standpoint, it's just, you know, I love the players. So there's not one guy on this team. This is now, what, 2-3 years in a row. Maybe Winker is about the only one we really didn't like. But that I really like and you pull for. And so the expectations coming in this year obviously were high. I think what's different about this year than last year is we were only chasing Houston, you know, in our division. Yeah. You know, we didn't have that many teams to leapfrog right now. I'm looking just in, you know, what, 2, 4, 6, 8. We're the ninth best record right now in the American League. And that's a lot of people to leapfrog. And it appears they're all really good teams. Whereas last year, I just didn't feel like all these teams were that strong. And so when we got hot, you thought, okay, this just mathematically, we're in good shape. This one, I have concerns in that I think the future's bright. We got so many good young players and so many good young pitchers particularly as well. I think the future's really bright. I just, the way things are playing out, though, I get a little disappointed, Ryan, in that we don't make contact enough. Our pitching's good. You know, our defense is pretty good, but we're putting so much pressure on our pitching staff. I just don't know if that's sustainable for a long period of time to beat these really good teams. And that can flip. I mean, we know that. A-Rod's starting to get hot now. I think we're starting to get to build into some continuity and consistency finally. But they've got to start putting that bat on the ball more often, particularly when guys are on second and third base with nobody out.
It's you know, it's been, I don't know, that's been the most frustrating thing for me, Paul, is for the past two seasons we've complained about the offense, and this team survived on their pitching and their defense. And once again, we're in the same exact boat where your pitching is lights out. Rotation and bullpen amongst the best in all of baseball. You've got very good defense. You're hitting, as you just touched on, it's the same story. And I think that's what Mariner fans get so annoyed with, is like, hey man, this isn't new. It's like the Seahawks defense. It's struggled for the past few years. That's not a new problem. That's been existing. And as far as the Mariners go, that's where the offseason disappointment came, because it's been an existing problem for multiple seasons, yet you addressed it by bringing in Tommy La Stella, Colton Wong, you know, A.J. Pollock, and then Teoscar Hernandez was the big one that I think everybody liked. And he's, you know, he hits a home run last night. Maybe he's going to find it, but he's been slow to find it as well. So it's just been disappointing, I think, in the way that they chose to address the big shortcoming that's been here.
Yeah, when I look at their statistics, Bob, the averages are starting to come up. I mean, we're still obviously very, very, very far down at the bottom on that, but they're starting to come up. Our power, if you look as a group, you know, we're going to have a lot of guys that hit in 20, 30 home runs this year. The part that, again, that's concerning, it's more the fundamentals of baseball. And I get it. This is a hard game. I mean, these guys are throwing way harder than they did 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. You know, the amount of movement and the spin rates, all that stuff. This is a hard game, but they're paid to produce. It's the little things that I keep looking at. I can deal with a strikeout with nobody on base, not with no outs and a runner on second and third, you know. And so that type of things, the things that people who are just everyday fans, or we don't know the difference between a splitter and a cutter and a fastball and a two seam, four seam, we're just like, I could move that guy, which we can't. That's the frustration part. They just got to get good fundamental baseball, because I do believe we have enough talent to pull this thing off.
Yeah, you said, Paul, you mentioned the word disappointment. That's what I feel like it kind of has that feeling, like the expectations have changed. I think, too, you know, Teoscar Hernandez hits a home run last night, right? Bomb, absolute bomb into the bullpen bar down there. And it was still like, oh, good job, but he's still swinging and missing a ton. You know what I mean? Like, it just has that feel to it. But I've got to say, I've got to ask you this, and I ask a lot of people, and be honest here, Paul. Jared Kelnick, are you in the camp of, oh, I'm not surprised at all, yeah, he was super talented, this was going to happen? Or are you sitting here, kind of like me, honestly, going, wow, look at some of the numbers this kid's putting up. Look what he's doing against lefties. Look at the fact he's able to drive the ball to left center field, or into those, you know, stay up the middle and drive the ball into that J-Rod squad area. What camp are you in with Jared Kelnick?
You know, for me, it was even in the off season. I just happened to see a YouTube video of him, you know, doing some hitting, and how, you know, DePoto and Service were talking about his off season, and it seemed different. And I thought the playoff series, well, he didn't have a great playoff series, but he did the little things to help us win, you know, play defense, yeah, you know, some timely hitting. You kind of just look at somebody's demeanor and I go, you know, maybe that's the tipping point for him to make the next leap. It obviously carried over into the off season. And I think what we saw from the very beginning was, oh, okay, this is not going to be a platoon after all with Pollock. He can hit lefties. And so I'm in the camp of the swing looks different. You know, I think the way he sees pitches is much different, obviously, than years past. You know, his strikeout rate's still pretty high. I mean, you know, he's a guy, when he makes contact, good things happen. But I'm in a camp, the long-winded answer is, I think we got two bona fide stars in that outfield with him and A-Rod for a long time.
J-Rod, you're going to upset our listeners, man. Come on.
I keep saying A-Rod.
Yeah.
A-Rod. Yeah, my bad. You know, close. At least they know.
They're going to get upset with you, Paul. You know how sensitive some people are. I guess some good news here. I'll get both your guys' reaction to this. Mariners tweeted out their lineup for today, and hitting second, Ty France.
Oh, is that good news, though, man?
Well, that's what I was just going to ask. And I was going to ask Paul, because, and then we'll get your thoughts, Ryan. But, you know, Paul, Ryan and I had a long conversation about, you know, Ty France. We're used to seeing him get plunked. He gets hit more than anybody. But this one looked like it really hurt. And there were no guards, no elbow guard, shin guard, what have you. It was right on the wrist. And it was 95 miles an hour. And you're looking at it going, oh, boy. And the thing we said we don't want is hit for him to be the tough guy that says, I can get out there. I can go, Skip. Put me in there, where he's compromised physically, because we've seen that. We saw that last year, and he told us about it, how he changed his mechanics so he could swing and not have pain. So you look at him missing one game. Does this give you pause? Are you kind of concerned, or do you feel like, all right, maybe it just wasn't as bad as it looked?
Well, when it happened, I was sick. First of all, he doesn't stay down.
Yeah.
You're right. He's a tough guy. He gets up, and I went, oh, no, man, this is – for him to stay down that long, that was pretty frightening. And then he jogged out there, and I go, okay, that's still not good, but he's being a tough guy. I'm okay with this one. I really don't think the Mariners would try to push this forward if they thought it would be something lingering. If there's any type of – it doesn't sound like there's a real bone bruise to it, and there was some swelling – but that doesn't usually swell that much when you're right on that bone. So if they took care of that and they really feel like he can grip a bat and go, I'm okay with it. Because I really believe if he was one of those that it could linger, they would pull him out. So I'm okay. I mean, I was just scared to death. And it's kind of like a kid falling off, you know, the jungle gym. You go, oh, no, they're okay. They're right. right back on the bars.
Ryan, how do you feel? We talked about it, man, about not wanting him out there at, you know, 80% or whatever it could be. We saw it before. Does this tell you, okay, maybe it just looked much worse than it is?
Well, Paul, I want to tell you this, my man. I'm a parent of an 8 and 4-year-old, but I am not one of these new parents that has to wrap their kid in cotton wool right now, man. I'm telling you right now, the kid falls off the jungle gym. They better have a broken neck, but we're not going to the emergency room, straight up. Exactly. Oh, man, the parents my age, man, they're cracking jokes with how they deal with their kids. But anyway, enough of that. I will say this, and so I'm prefacing what I'm about to say with that. When he goes in that training room and they start messing with his wrist to see if he's good, whatever, he's just not going to be honest. And I love that about him, how tough he is. He's not going to be honest with us. He's not going to be honest with himself. He's going to wake up in the morning, yeah, I'm good. And he's just going to play through this pain, and that swing's going to change if there is an issue. And we will never know that until after the season, my wrist was really hurting me, but I decided to play through it. Or no, it was actually great. Like, it was nowhere near what it was. Nowhere near one of these injuries I had sustained and tried to play through it in 21, 22. The thing with me, with him, obviously in regards to the production we saw last year after he tried to play through an injury and just didn't say anything about it, is if I'm looking out at the I'm at the stadium right now, Paul, by the way, so I'm watching these dudes. He better be jumping around, doing his regular routine you saw 2 weeks ago, for me to be convinced. If he's in here taking time off, taking BP, not going in the cage, trying to ease through it, then that to me is a red flag in saying that he is going to try and play through this. And again, I love that. I admire that about guys, how tough they are. But I just don't want to see a situation where he gets frustrated, production lacks, even though he will tell himself and us and the trainers and everyone, no, 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 I'm good. It's barely anything. When you know he is playing through some pain. So, again, I was kind of hoping I was just going to shut him down for at least 10 days against his will. Well, they're not going to do it.
Let me ask you, Ryan, on this, because I'm not there and I don't know the trainers. I know, you know, Rick Griffin for a long time, great trainers. Yeah. I mean, do you have confidence in them that they wouldn't put him in harm's way? Because I agree. We're just a little over a quarter of the way through the season. I don't want somebody playing through something that's going to linger. I would respect it if there was, you know, 8 games left in the season. So my hope is they have all come to the conclusion that this is not going to linger. This is not an issue.
Well, okay, and just from personal experience, I've been with some teams that the trainers, it's like, you know what, I feel like I'm on my own. Like, I'm just going to make my own decision here because you don't really trust the trainers. Mariners, I don't think that's the case. I feel like they have a pretty good relationship with these guys. And Rick Griffin and those guys, for me, it was, I put it this way, 2008, I was in the bullpen. My elbow, I could barely play catch in the afternoon at 4 o'clock. I could barely, it was in so much pain. I was not going to say a word because I was too worried they're going to, you know, ultimately say, oh, yeah, well, if you can pitch and they know I'm injured, they're just going to send me down because it's a business. So I was too scared that they're going to send me down. And plus I wanted to keep pitching. I was pitching well. And I did whatever I could to try and just gut it out and get through it. It was painful. And so with that, I would go in, they'd check me out, you know, hey man, you look like you're doing some things a little bit differently, or I notice you're getting a lot of ice, or you're doing this, you're not playing catch. What is it? I'm like, no, I'm good. You just lie to them, lie to the trainers. You do it all the time. You just flat out lie to them. You don't tell anyone. You tell two of your buddies in the bullpen. I was telling Eric O'Flaherty and Sean Green, right, relief pitcher. Those two guys, I said, God, my arm is, I'm in so much pain right now. And Mark Lowe, another guy. The rest of them, no one had a clue. And I wouldn't even tell the trainers, no one. Hey, you good to go today? Yeah, I'm good. But I was too scared to speak up.
Well, and they didn't know you were hurt until they saw you throw that 70-mile-an-hour EFIS pitch.
Yeah. Mind you, and I say, hey, can you turn the radar gun off, too, in the stadium, please?
Paul, I'm guessing you probably hit an injury or two in your day, right?
Yeah, but not really. I mean, yes, the answer is I can go. If I was injured, now we all talk about the difference between doing injured and hurt. I played hurt often, but you know, the big injuries, they let you know. And I thought we had pretty good trainers back in the day too. So I think it's a little different. You know, it's case by case. I know as a coach, though, there were times that I had to grab guys and say, you have to be honest with me because I'm not worried about this game. And I think I really believe DePoto and Service, I feel like they have that relationship with the players. And so maybe it's more of a hope for me than reality. But I'm hoping he's going to be fine. This thing's not going to linger on.
Hey, real quick, too. I'm watching him right now, and Perry Hill's hitting him a couple ground balls. So I'm just paying attention here. And oh, no, he flinched a little bit. Yeah, he flinched. Yeah, no, shut it down.
You're going to panic our listeners. Don't do that, right?
Yell to him. Just say, hey, Ty, come over here real quick. Tell me about your wrist. Be honest with me. So
I used to play too, man. Hey, like, you can be honest with me. Yeah, right. I'll yell out the window and say that. Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, you tell us if you see him flip that glove to the ground and start rolling around in pain holding his wrist, then we got something to worry about. But I guess I'll defer to the training staff. And I mean, they saw the replay. They saw it hit squarely on that wrist. And if he looks like he's swinging, his mechanics are weird at all, or I would hope that they would say, we're going to protect you from yourself. You're not in the lineup tonight. We're going to sit you for a couple of days and let you get work on that. And it just looks like such a direct hit in an area that had no padding.
It looked bad.
Yeah, and it was 95. Yeah, it wasn't a curveball. It couldn't be a breaking ball or a changeup there. No, it had to be a 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, and he's a tough dude, man.
Yeah, he is tough. When I first was first playing, I didn't have my eyes on the TV. I heard it. And then I saw him go down, and I go, oh, no, he took one to the head because it sounded like it hit the helmet. And then I saw the replay. I go, oh, man, that's off the wrist, and he's still down. That is not good at all. But here's what I know, Bob. After the first at bat that Ty has today, I'll bet you tweet whether they should pull him or that was a good move.
You think so? Am I prone to do that?
I'm just saying I might follow you tonight just to all get right. your opinion on that.
Okay.
So it'll be good.
Hey, gets called out on strikes. Yeah. Or some, yeah, whatever.
Clearly he's being impacted. Yeah. Hey, Paul, you should check my Twitter when you get off this call here. I tweeted a video that could be Dave Wyman on a treadmill. We heard all about his accident at home, how it fired him into the wall and the belt was rubbing his leg.
Yes.
There's a video there you should check out. It's very funny. But
I'm definitely gonna check it out. I just want to Ryan, are you doing TV tonight? What's the deal?
I'm doing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Not tonight though. Friday, Saturday, Sunday I'm in there, yeah.
Driving me nuts. If somebody said, what's the biggest issue with the Mariners right now? No consistency on the TV broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
I got to go to radio. Drives me crazy.
Paul, we love you, man. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks. Hey, Ryan, appreciate chatting with you.
Yeah, it's always good. Appreciate it, buddy.
There you go. Paul Moyer with us every single week. If you missed any of that conversation, you'll find that on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. Just click the podcast tab and click on our picture, and it's right there waiting for you each and every day after the show. Quickly, we got one text here from the 907, Ryan, that says, Ryan won't wrap his kids in bubble wrap because it costs money to buy it. He won't be wasting money on just anything.
Nailed it. The ER, hey, I'm telling you, my insurance, I've got like the dud insurance too. I'm not taking, like I said, Lennox, mate, your hand better be chopped off, mate, if you want me to go to the ER. It's expensive.
Oh, that poor kid.
Let me sew that thing back on.
Your poor kids. Yeah, Ryan's going to be looking for duct tape and glue. I got this.
Hey, real quick, he has been to the ER. Multiple times, by the way, little Lennox. He walked in the other day. He lost a few front teeth, went straight into a soccer net. I don't want to get into the details. It's pretty bad. He's a tough kid. He walks in. We walk in to see the nurse, and he sticks his finger out just to put the heart rate monitor on because he's so used to knowing exactly what he's supposed to do.
He knows the drill.
Yeah, he knows the drill. It's crazy.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm glad he's okay.
Nah, he's good.
All right.
Missing some teeth.
Coming up, the Mariners bullpen is about to get even better. We'll discuss a key injury update from Jerry Dipoto that is coming your way next with Wyman and Bob. We got Ryan Roland Smith in today. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Our thanks to Paul Moyer, who joined us in the previous segment. In case you guys are just tuning in, that conversation will be available on the podcast page at seattlesports.com after the show. We did go through, we didn't go through the entire lineup. The lineup is out today for the Mariners. And just to finish that off, we'll get to the other conversation, Ryan. But Ty France is back in the lineup after missing a game there. So it's JP leading off, Ty France hitting second, followed by Julio, Kelnick, Suarez, Raleigh, Hernandez, Murphy, and Caballero. So there you go. Raleigh back in that DH spot. You got Murphy catching. I know Cal's been dealing with a bit of a neck issue there, but they've got him in there hitting, and Murphy catching, and Jose Caballero hitting ninth, playing second base with Logan Gilbert on the hill.
Well, Cal Raleigh got off that road trip straight to get an MRI. I mean, that's pretty severe, whatever he's dealing with. Obviously negative. He played that night, which is... Yeah, I'll tell you what, modern medicine, I sound so old, but no, it's wild. So yeah, he must be dealing with something going on, and he's another guy who won't say anything about injuries, but yeah, and but no, good to see Tom Murphy getting some game time too, I would say, man.
Yeah, good for him, yeah. And he works very well with these guys, especially, you know, Marco, and he just is that, I think, that calming veteran voice that maybe some guys need when they're struggling a bit, so yeah, good to have both those guys out there. Meanwhile, a guy that we've been without what feels like the entire season, I know he was there briefly, but Andrés Muñoz, you know, we sort of forget about him. The bullpen, you know, not that they don't need him by any stretch. They need him, but they've done a nice job. The bullpen has been very, very good for the most part. And Jerry Dipoto talking about the potential timeline for his return.
And, you know, Mooney's throwing comfortably. He's been in a great position, as I mentioned last week, since he received that PRP injection. And he's tracking very well. He had a spring training and a start up into the season. I don't think it will take quite as long. Our hope is that Mooney is able to join the club Maybe closer to this next road trip, sometime on the next road trip. But again, we can see the light at the end of the tunnel for both he and Penn Murphy, which I think is also an exciting development for us.
How big is that, Ryan? I mean, as I said, they've been performing well. I mean, it's not spotless. It's not perfect. Yeah. You've had moments. But how much does that help, and what does it do to the roles? Right now it feels like Brash is a guy that's been thrown into some high-leverage situations. Sometimes it works out really well. Sometimes not so great. So how do the roles shift in your mind, and how much of an impact does the addition of Munoz and Murphy have in there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really helps a ton. You're starting to notice – I'm not saying the wheels are falling off, but you're starting to see some of these guys who are pushed, you know, when you're talking about, you know, mentally exhausting and then having to back it up the next day and then throw an inning in a third, have a day off and then go back and throw multiple innings. All these things that you just don't do in the minor leagues, you're starting to see it start to show up a little bit. And, you know, a couple of guys, you know, with Gabe Spire being one of them, you saw that a little bit with Trevor Gott. But he's kind of, you know, getting back into form. Even Justin Toper as well. So as good as they've been, and as good as the rotation's been to cut down on the amount of pitches and innings they've had to throw, getting Munoz in there, it gets them back to, I think, getting Paul Sewald out of that traditional closer's role. Not that I've got anything against that, but it gets them back to that formula where they have the high leverage spots, whether it be the seventh, eighth, or ninth, whatever. And you have Sewald, Munoz are kind of your back end guys. And then you've got, you know, Matt Brash kind of more in the middle. It just solidifies the roles a little bit more with this team.
So who are the odd men out when those guys return? I mean, you don't have, you know, Munoz, I don't know if they're going to come back the same day or within a couple days of each other, talking about Penn Murphy and Munoz. But who are we looking at,
you think? Are you saying if both guys come back, or are you saying if one? Okay.
Because you're going to have to make a roster move, right? You don't have room for it.
Yeah, well, you've got some options there. I don't know if Gabe Spire has options. And this is nothing, man. Where's that little option page that tells you exactly what guys have? I can't find it. But Taylor, you know, Saucedo is a guy, a candidate.
What about Juan
10? Yeah, exactly. One of those guys. And again, that's just the way it goes. Get optioned down, go do your thing in AAA, come back up when there's an injury. It's always interchangeable. And by the way, too, like, one of those guys could be instrumental come August.
Yeah.
You know, it takes, you know, if with all the guys they've got right now, where they've got seven or eight, where they're carrying eight guys right now, we all know it takes 11 of them. So one of these guys, if you've got options, hang with them. I know you're dealing. I know you're feeling great and you feel like you're part of this team, but, you know, back to Tacoma for a bit. And then when an injury comes up, here you go, because you waste no time. If Munoz is giving you the head nod saying, hey, I'm good, arm feels amazing, and you're good to go back-to-back days, yep, you're good to go, you know, back-to-back day off, then a day, and the workload, yeah, I'm good. Don't mess around. Get him up here for sure.
Is that the worst conversation? Just, you know, manager calls you into the office and says, hey, Ryan, we got to make a move with the roster. So-and-so's ready to go. We're going to send you down to AAA. Is that just – are you just –
it's brutal.
Bubbling with anger or sadness or what? That's got to be awful.
I'll be honest with you, because I've been asked this before, and I thought about it. I was like, hold on, yeah, that's a good point. So, like, if you're dealing and they send you down, it's frustrating, right? But and everyone's like, oh, that's got to be more frustrating. But when you're struggling, that's the lasting impression you make. When you, let's say you got two or three bad ones and they option you down, which usually that's kind of what happens, right? You're struggling a little bit, they're going to option you down. That, I think, is tougher because you get to AAA and you feel like you're out on an island. You just feel lonely down there. You feel like no one cares about me. No one's talking about me. You just feel like you're kind of lost. And then you go down to AAA and that first outing, deal, do it again. No one says anything. There's no instant feedback. No one's giving you any report. And you just feel like, oh, man, it's a lonely feeling until finally you get that call back up. So I think those ones are tougher when you're struggling and get sent down as opposed to, man, I'm dealing. Because when you're dealing up here and you're just the move because it makes sense and everything else, because no one else has got options, that's you want to leave that lasting impression. You want to be talked about when you get sent down. You want people to be upset you're getting sent down,
right?
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
But it's tough,
sense.
Man. There's nothing worse. I've said this to you guys before. I get it, man. It's changed. AAA's changed a little bit. But everything that's awesome in the big leagues, it's not like, oh, it's just a little bit not as good in AAA. No, no, no. It's the complete opposite. You know what I'm saying?
Travel, brutal. The food, the accommodations.
The cheapest Southwest ticket you can find in that C position on the check-in and that Dallas-Fort Worth layover at 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, where do I start? Like I said, it's not just a little bit of a downgrade. It's the complete other end of it.
You guys are sharing rooms at the Motel 6.
Hey, listen, Triple A is a little bit better than Able, but I don't even want to dive into some of my minor league stories. It's oh my god. Okay. And the thing is, too, you just become accustomed to like the everyday, you know, reality, which is the big leagues. Then you get sent down, you're like, oh, whatever. It's not too bad. You're optimistic, and then it hits you, bang. It hits you hard. Oh, you're sitting there going, what happened?
It's culture shock. It's so.
Oh, yeah, it really is.
All right. Hey, the Mariners, by the way, are celebrating the slickest shortstop in the game with one of the sweetest giveaways of the season. Did you write that, Lefko? Is that you? It's J.P. Crawford Funko Pop Collectible Day on Saturday, May 27th, taking on the Pirates. The first 20,000 fans will score this limited edition item. So you can get tickets at Mariners.com/promotions. So there you go, celebrating J.P. Crawford. The Mariners have officially found their answer at second base. We'll talk about whether Jose Caballero can maintain this hot start. That's coming your way next with Wyman and Bob with Ryan Roland-Smith in today. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Mariners getting set to take on the Oakland A's in the finale, game four of the four-game series. Mariners have taken three of those, so the finale coming up tonight. We'll turn you over to the pregame show at 5:30. It's Wyman and Bob. We got Ryan Roland-Smith in with us today. Seattle Sports on 710. And the Mariners, it feels like they found their second baseman. We heard Jerry say as much there that Jose Caballero has earned that right, even when Dylan Moore comes back. Here he is just talking about the traits that he possesses that have made him successful to this point.
Just such a smart baseball player. And it's again, you know, beyond his years and experience, at least it seems. You know, he plays like someone who's played thousands of games at this level. And, you know, his on-field awareness, his instincts on the bases in the batter's box for game situations is just off the charts good. And he's brought a lot of energy to our team. It's been, you know, it's been fun to watch. He's made all the plays at second base. It's the quality of the at bat has just been excellent, really, since he's been called up. But, you know, now he's adding a little bit of power to the mix.
So what I heard on the broadcast last night, Ryan, Angie was going through the list of injuries he suffered. I mean, he's older than a lot of, you know, rookies. He's 26. He's not in his 30s, but he's a little bit older. But because of those injuries, that sort of delayed his ascent, if you will. But she talked about he broke both hands, and then he broke his pinky finger, and then he tore his ACL. And my goodness, this guy's been through the ringer in terms of injuries. Is that a guy you look at and say that's the only thing that's kept him from being talked about or being one of their, you know, highly ranked prospects? Because most people hadn't even really heard of him, and then all of a sudden here he is, and man, he looks every bit a ball player at the very minimum out there.
You know, it's interesting. Like, Andy McKay spoke to him about this, and when you try and go back into the minor leagues and really try to seek out what it is, the fact he's 26, why did it take him this long to get here? At a glance, he can't quite see, you know, the dates and what happened with the injuries and stuff like that. But Andy's like, look, he's just been hurt. It hasn't been like a full big chunk of time to really, you know, see what kind of projection there is there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in saying that, when you have a player who is, you know, 100 exit velo and crushing 500-foot bombs in batting practice and has sprint speed or has a cannon from right field or a five-tool player or high draft pick or whatever, regardless of injury or not, you're going to hear all about him. Well, we didn't hear about that with Jose Caballero because, and Jose Caballero said this himself, the things he does to make him a quote-unquote smart player, to make him a gritty player, grinding player, someone who can change an inning, that doesn't show up in the analytics development department in when you start projecting these young players, because they always look at these young players and say, what projects here to be a major league player? All that stuff, it kind of gets pushed aside. And so that's why I think we just simply hadn't heard a whole lot about this guy at all. But in saying that, man, like, look at the difference. And especially when you have a lineup that swings and misses a ton, he just has, there's just a different element to the way he plays the game.
Is it sustainable when you watch him? Does he have a game? Does he have an approach that you feel like, yeah, it doesn't matter, you know, once the league gets familiar with him and they see what he does, that he's just got the kind of approach that is going to sustain him? I don't expect him to keep up with what he's doing. You look at his numbers in May, he's hitting 350 with a 471 on base. I don't know that it's fair to expect that to continue. But just in terms of who he is as a player and his approach, does that look like something that's sustainable?
So basically, just to contradict everything I have a problem with when people don't project him as a minor league player, because he does the stuff that is a difference maker, but he doesn't have the... Now, just to look into some of those numbers. So if you want to start to sort of project, a couple of things that stand out to me. He's hitting 438 against breaking balls, right? So he's handling secondary pitches at this level, not in double A, at this level. And at this level, you have the stuff, you have the movement, velocity with command. Right, so he's handling that. He's got sprint. He can run. He can, which again, as we all know, I call it old school. Can you know, buy you some base hits if you have bat to ball skill, which he has as well. He has really good bat to ball skill. Power wise, you know, he's hit a couple home runs recently. I don't know how sustainable, you know, the power numbers are going to be. He finally got his first two hits into right field. In Detroit, I was watching at first, he was just yanking everything into left field. And I was like, okay, that's when the league you mentioned getting familiar with him is going to change a little bit. So some of these little factors you look at from our point of view, and when you're trying to get a really good look at the small sample size, you look at that and say, okay, all right, these factors here are things that can be sustainable. You know, does he hit lefties? Does he hit lefties the same as what he does? You know, hitting righties to keep him in the lineup every single day. I mean, he's hitting lefties better than he's hitting righties. He's hitting 310. So all these little factors. Now, if he struck out a lot, but he was just mashing homers, you're like, okay, league's going to figure him out. But that's not the case. So I think there's enough here with him, with his approach, that has all the factors to say, you know, it's not like he's going to hit 350, like you said. But it is sustainable enough to be a really, really good player in the big leagues.
Yeah, he's got, for the month, he's got 9 strikeouts. He's got 8 walks. I like his discipline up there. He's not a guy he's aggressive. We saw his very first game. Remember, he lined like 3 shots into left field, almost all in the same spot, and he squared them up, but they were caught. So he looked like, okay, this guy's a hacker. He's going to go up there aggressive. But it feels like as he's gotten more time, You see him taking pitches. You see him making the pitcher work. You see him, you know, he'll take that walk, that he's not up there just, I got to get a hit. I'm up here just, I'm going for it. I like his discipline. I like that he's, you know, he takes some close calls up there. Sometimes it works against him. Sometimes it doesn't. But I like that he doesn't seem over eager. And maybe that's a result, Ryan, of him being given the job in a sense of, hey, this is your spot now until you prove otherwise. Maybe there's a comfort there.
Yeah, and that's the other factor as well. I mean, the when you talk about approach, not someone who's just, oh, I've got good bat-to-ball skills, but he's super aggressive. You see some of these young players, you go around the league, like even like Ruiz at the top of the lineup with the A's. Like, what's his name? Duran, you saw with the Red Sox. I mean, the list goes on. Some of these young players are like, okay, super aggressive still. There's not that. How good are they when they're hitting 3-2 counts, 2-2 counts over the long haul? How comfortable are they laying off a certain pitch to go into a strike one, strike two count, and then being able to make hard contact? So I think with Caballero, again, look, he's 26 years old too. It's not like he's 22 and he's just trying to just swing at everything too. So I think that's another sustainable quality he has as well.
Yeah,
I just honestly, I'm going to look at him glass half full all day, man. I love the way he plays.
I'm with you. I think there's that part of me that's afraid of getting hurt, Ryan. So I don't want to go all in on him yet. I'm like, all right, well, let's see how he does after the leagues, you know, had a look at him for a bit and, you know, try to temper expectations. And all right, I can't expect him to be this guy, you know, for the foreseeable future. They're going to, you know, he'll hit some ruts and they're going to get to know his weaknesses and the holes in his swing, what have you. But I love watching him. I hope he's something close to what he's been doing, because I think he brings an edge that we talked about. Kelnick's got an edge to him in a different way. I feel like this guy gets under the skin of the opposition in a way that other player on this team does, and I like it. All right, coming up, we'll get you caught up on some of the news happening around the AL West and the rest of Major League Baseball. That's coming your way next. We got Ryan Roland Smith in with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.